Thank you to Bradley Wallace and the Wallace Firm, proud partner of the Lakers Talk Podcast.
Thanks, Alan. Our team at the Wallace Firm is excited and proud to partner with the Lakers Talk Podcast. If you're injured and you need a win, call 844-844-WINS or go to wallacewins.com.
Lakers Talk is on. Is on. From the winning tradition of the Los Angeles Lakers.
You got 19 or 20 years to play with the Lakers.
Yeah, 19 or 20 at least.
It's over, and the most valuable player is Magic Johnson.
Kobe underneath gives a shot. Shaq slammed out. Sends it to Kareem. Sky hook up and good.
To future legends of the purple and gold.
LeBron on a breakaway, and the first basket of his Laker career is a tomahawk dunk.
There is not a better duo in the NBA than LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
It's going to be fun for sure. I'll put our roster up against anybody.
Here's Alan Sliwa.
All right, Lakers looking for another win tomorrow. Got to keep stacking these W's up, Funches. Not for this. Take advantage of these teams below 500.
Of course, man.
You know, undefeated against teams below 500 right now?
Wow.
Lakers are undefeated against teams below 500. And I know that might not sound like a big deal, but it is. Bucks just lost to the Spurs tonight. You know, Boston lost to Washington. It happens. It happens.
Bad teams beat good teams.
Yeah, it happens. So the fact that the Lakers... The fact that the Lakers are undefeated against teams below 500, maybe I just jinxed them. If I jinx them, then we'll cancel the show. All right, let's get some shootouts started. What's going on, Funches?
What's up, man?
How we doing over there?
I'm good.
All right, so you got a nice weekend, watch a lot of football?
Not even, man. I've been out for 2 weeks almost, man. I've been on vacation.
I know, but you watch football over the weekend?
Barely,
nothing?
Barely, man.
Did you go anywhere?
Nah, man.
So you just had the time off and
just
you were
the time
just chilling?
Off, just chilling.
All right,
you
good
know,
for you.
Hanging out with family and stuff like that.
All right, good for you. Yeah. All right, before we get started here, shootout presented by the Wallace Firm. Injured, need a win? Go to my guy, Brad Wallace at the Wallace Firm. Proven trial lawyers who can get you a W for your case. If you're injured, get the W. Call 844-844-WINS or wallacewins.com. No win, no fee. 844-844-WINS or visit wallacewins.com. Let's get started.
Hey, guys. It's LZ.
Thank you, LZ.
LZ, appreciate you hopping
appreciate
on.
You. Appreciate
yeah,
you, man.
He's got the morning show tomorrow.
Man, I don't even know what he's doing here.
With us. He's still here.
He lives
with us.
Here, man. All right. Well, big news from the weekend was the Kevin Love controversy in Cleveland. Last Saturday, Shams from Yahoo reported that Love had an emotional verbal outburst directed toward general manager Colby Altman after shootaround and was screaming in front of teammates and Cavs coaches and front office members. And there's another rumor that Altman threatened to fine Love, and Kevin does the OG thing, Alan, and says, "Go ahead, I got plenty of money."
Well, yeah, I mean, he's going to fine him $1,000. I mean, how are you going
to
fine somebody?
That's a cent to us.
His contract is worth millions and millions of dollars. He's bringing up
OG to say that to your boss. It's OG to say that to your boss, man. Then later that day in the game versus OKC, Love showed his frustrations with Colin Sexton during the play. I don't know if you saw the replay of this when he says, calling for the ball and yelling for the ball and then threw the ball to Osman like really, really hard. But anyway, then later that night, Kevin Love posted something on Instagram basically saying he loves his teammates and, you know, ride or die with them and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Alan, should Love have been suspended or fined for what he did to Colby Altman? And what's going to happen with Kevin Love going forward in Cleveland?
No, I don't think he should have. I saw the replay, too. You can watch it on Twitter, whatever the case is. He basically slams his hand down at the when he goes back to the bench. He's frustrated in the middle of a game. Look, the Cavaliers are so bad. They are so bad. They are 10-26 right now, same record as the New York Knicks. Lakers got the Knicks tomorrow. He's frustrated. He's frustrated being on a bad team. By the way, I think it's the right strategy. A lot of times people will say, why would the Cavs sign Kevin Love when you know you're rebuilding?
Right? Yeah, right.
And then you'd say, if you're Kevin Love, why would you re-sign with the Cavs?
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense for both parties. He gets his money. They have an asset on their books that they could eventually go make a trade for.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where he's eventually going to get traded.
I don't know either.
But he's got to go somewhere. I mean, something has to happen. It reminds me, you know, Jerry West did this with Blake Griffin.
That's right.
They signed him, 5-year deal. Clipper for life.
But I think Kevin...
7-8 months later, Blake Griffin was traded to the Detroit Pistons.
I think Kevin had it in his mind that he was going to be with a dynasty and that LeBron wasn't going to leave Cleveland and he was going to be playing with the best player of our generation for years to come.
I think Funches, he signed after LBJ left. He did.
He did,
I think,
really?
Kevin Love. Yeah, his latest contract was after LBJ left.
All right, well...
He got paid.
He got his paid, but
now he's got to kind of do his dues a little bit and eventually find a way to get out of Cleveland and hopefully Cleveland gets some assets in the process.
If he can find his way to Boston or even Portland, I think they turn into instant title contenders.
Portland, I don't think would.
Boston would probably win the East with him, I think.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens with Kevin Love.
Man, I'm so hungry.
Thank you, LZ.
LZ, it's past dinner, bro.
I know, man. Come on, man.
Can't be
it's 8
eating
o'clock
this late.
Right now, homie.
Can't be eating this late.
Well, the NBA All-Star Game will be coming up next month in Chicago, and the first round of the fan votes are in, Alan. Mm-hmm. And in the West, the first five are LeBron, AD, Kawhi, Luka, and James Harden. Now, in the
East... Can't argue that one.
I know, right?
Yeah.
That's a tough team right there. In the East, we got Greek Freak, Embiid, Siakam, Trae Young, and Kyrie Irving, if he can play. And that rounds out their five so far. Now in sixth place...
Let's stop here for a quick second.
What's that?
Kyrie 100% should not be on that list.
That's the fan, though. That's,
okay, 100% shouldn't be on there.
We'll get to that.
Let me tell you, those fans that put him on their list is not watching NBA basketball.
We're going to talk about this right now, okay?
Right.
So now in sixth place in the Eastern Conference is Boston Celtics center Taco Fall. Now, you know anything about Taco Fall? He's a 7'6 guy. He's sort of like a...
I know when he subs in, they all go crazy.
I know. He's a cult hero in Boston because he's 7'6". And I'm guessing all the people in Beantown have been voting for him like crazy. You know, double voting, triple voting, whatever. Now, Fall is ahead of people like Andre Drummond, who leads the league in rebounding.
Yep.
And he's a legit all-star.
We saw him yesterday,
right? I know, right? Alan, do we need to do something different so a guy like Taco Fall doesn't start an all-star game when he really doesn't deserve it?
Okay, let me understand this right. So if he leads the votes...
Well, he's in sixth place right now, but...
Okay,
you know,
if he cracks the top five, that means he's in?
The sixth place among front court players. If he cracks the top three among front court players in the East, then he's in.
Okay, so he's not going to get in.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But something like this could happen.
There's conversation. Ireland brought this up to Michael Thompson during the game.
Yeah.
And Alex Caruso, I think, is eighth or something
along those lines. Yeah, those guys like that deserve to be in the All-Star game if they get the fan vote.
I get, okay, this is a fan, this is an event for fans, right? So I get that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But MT was trying to make this argument saying it's kind of a slap in the face to all these other players that should be in the All-Star game, that their numbers prove that they should be in the All-Star game. But I get the fan part of it.
Me personally,
Caruso and Taco Fall should not be in the All-Star game.
No, then we can just start writing in whoever we want to be in the All-Star game. He can be in the All-Star game.
The case that MT was trying to make is, you know, would Caruso even want to be in the All-Star game? He knows he's getting in for the wrong reasons,
mm-hmm.
as in it's not performance-based, it's just a popularity vote.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of with... No, don't put them in.
I'm with you. I don't put Taco Fall in. I don't put Caruso if they somehow become starters.
Caruso, get in that slam dunk.
I know there
contest.
Was like some kind of controversy with Luka Doncic last year because he was in the top five at the voting until February, so it didn't matter. But people were like worried that he was gonna start the All-Star game.
You see his stat line tonight?
Yeah, of course I did.
Want me to read that off to you real quick?
Please do. Make me happy.
All right, so Luka tonight for the Dallas Mavs. We need the Mavs to lose every game, by the way. 38 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists.
Oh, man.
Another triple-double for
Luka.
And
I saw him talking trash to another Bulls player on the court.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, like saying I got 34 through three quarters and like just throwing up the 3 and 4.
Mm.
Man. This guy got some swag.
Lakers got Dallas coming up on Friday at Dallas.
Ooh, man. That's
great. Two tough games for the Lakers coming up Friday and Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Fight on!
Thank you, LZ. We'll fight on Friday with the Lakers versus the Mavericks. All right, the logo Jerry West did an interview with a Dallas newspaper where he praised the play of Luka Doncic. Now, Luka is averaging 29-9-8, and you just read his stat line for tonight. And when asked about him, West said, Luka will be the best player Dallas ever had. I have great respect for Nowitzki, but Dirk is not him. Agree or disagree with that statement, Alan?
Really tough for me to disagree with anything Jerry West says.
Me too. I'd say the same thing. But Dirk Nowitzki is like one of the greatest players I've ever seen.
I think Dirk is the greatest European player.
Yeah.
Him and Powell. I'd have to look. I'd have to look at that.
Well, I mean, you know, Powell got the championships, but still.
Powell's got two of them, you know, yeah. But he's got, the difference with Dirk is he's got one, and he was the guy.
He
you
was
know,
the,
obviously Kobe, exactly. even though, I'll tell you what, Powell was amazing for the Lakers in that championship run. Will he be the greatest Mav of all time? Okay, this is the difference between Luka and Dirk. Dirk sets up Dirk.
Yeah.
Luka sets up everybody and gets his own. And still is, what, 8 or 9 rebounds a game?
Yeah. And he's not, like, averaging, like...
How old is he? 19 right now?
Yeah.
Jesus.
And he's not, like, averaging, like, 13 points. He's averaging, like, 29 points per game.
I know.
Like, damn.
I'm going to say Dirk will have the better career than Dirk, than Luka.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to say that. I'm just going to say it because, you know, he was 20 years in the league, or 21, whatever he was. And I don't know. It's so tough to say that Luka will be a better player, but I get
and
it.
It's so
by
hard
the
to,
way, I get it. I know what he's saying. Like, it makes sense what he's saying.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat my words in a little bit,
so,
but that's okay.
And it's so hard to project what he could be in 5 years or 10 years or how the Maverick organization will be, too, like if they will win championships or not. You
Let
know?
Me say this. I'll say this about the Mavs. If they're a stock... I mean, coming into the season, I don't think we're even saying they're in the playoffs.
No. Not
getting a chance to have played them 3 times so far this year. Another one. I don't know why I play them so many times, such a short span. Be the 4th time we play them this year. Come up this Friday. Can you imagine what that team's going to be in 2-3 years?
Woo!
That's a powerhouse in the West.
Yeah.
That's a problem in the Western Conference.
Chris Sapps as well. Chris Sapps, Porzingis.
And who knows what kind of moves they make and deals they make.
Mark Cuban is a mad scientist. He makes all kinds of trades.
Carlisle, a good, obviously a good, good head coach. So we'll see what happens to the Mavs.
Trust me, you would thank me.
Thank you, LZ.
I appreciate it, LZ, man.
I trust you, brother. All right, going back to the All-Star game, it has been reported that the dunk contest could be set with a couple former winners and a highly touted rookie. Now, the rumor is that Zach LaVine, Ja Morant, Derrick Jones Jr. from Miami, and our own Dwight Howard will be in the 2020 dunk contest. What are your initial thoughts on this foursome, especially Dwight?
Zach LaVine is a high flyer. Ja Morant, I got to watch him on Saturday against the Memphis or against the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, Ja Morant's going to be amazing in this league. He really is. He had some plays.
People were comparing him to Westbrook when he was coming in. I was like, no, he might be better than Westbrook when it's done and over, you know,
I'll tell you what he has. He walks into the league more of a basketball player than Russell was.
Yeah,
Westbrook
was
pure athlete
pure
when he
athlete,
came in,
exactly.
Right? So that part of his game. So Ja Morant will be fun to watch. The rookie that you mentioned, you know, I'm sure that he's a high flyer.
Derrick Jones Jr.?
Dwight is the interesting one.
Yeah.
Like, I'm surprised actually Dwight is doing it.
Me too.
Like, there's a little bit of surprise to that.
Me too.
Dwight will be at a big disadvantage just because these other guys are young, high flyers.
And he's in his mid-30s right now. These
exactly.
other guys are in their 20s and at their physical peak.
But I'll tell you, you know, I'm rooting for Dwight, whatever he does this year.
Yeah.
Use yesterday as an example. Mm-hmm. He had, I think, 11.9 rebounds and 5 block shots. He's been so key for the Lakers this year. So anything that he does, and if he feels, I want to be a part of the slam dunk contest because he knows he's not going to be an all-star, give the guy some love. I'm all good with it.
Yeah, I from this foursome, I think I'm cheering for Dwight Howard to win. Because,
and I don't think he will.
Yeah, probably not. Because big men don't really win the dunk contest. Except for him.
Zach LaVine or Ja Morant, one of those two guys.
Might be Derrick Jones. Have you seen him dunk?
I don't know if it's a guy that I'm thinking of.
It is a guy that you're thinking of.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so it's going to be a good slam dunk contest.
And let me tell you, one guy that I really wanted to see in the dunk contest, Vince Carter.
Yeah, everybody
I
did.
Wanted to see Vince Carter do it one more time.
Do you think he did it
out.
Because he is 42 years old, that he's guy's going to pull a hammy just trying to get up? Or?
I don't know. Maybe he just doesn't think he can do the 360s and between the legs things anymore. I don't think he can do it anymore. But
he's the greatest dunker of all time.
Yeah.
So let's put it that way. His title reigns and no one will ever beat him.
That's right.
Have you ever had a manscaping accident?
No, LZ. I have not. Personally, I have not. But thanks, LZ, for asking.
Thank you, brother. All right. Okay. We've been talking a lot about the Lakers and possible roster changes and so on. I have some names that have been linked to the Lakers in the last week or so.
Okay.
And I want you to give me a yay or a nay.
Okay.
If you want them to see him in the purple and gold.
Let's do it.
Darren Collison.
Yes. Want me to give some analysis on
please,
it?
Please do.
Okay. We're struggling at that spot right now. When when LeBron goes to the bench, Funch is not good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Lakers are so dependent on LeBron to do everything. By the way, even if Anthony Davis is in the game, Lakers are still struggling when LeBron goes to the bench. So LeBron's been everything. I think Darren Collison can be a player for the Lakers that just helps off the bench. And Rondo has not been effective. And that's obviously, that's worrisome. As you get to the postseason, I know the Lakers will have some more rest. I know we call him playoff Rondo. But if he's not making it happen, then I think you got to go get a guy like Darren Collison. So we'll see what he does.
How about DJ Augustine?
No, I'm good.
I'm good
on that front. Yeah, I would rather have...
What if you don't get Darren Collison?
Nah, it just doesn't do anything for me. I don't think it's going to be like this crazy
upgrade.
Like,
he's not spectacular. He's just solid.
Give Caruso and Quinn Cook those minutes.
Okay, cool. Davis Bertans.
Yeah, you mentioned him.
Washington, he's second in the league in three-pointers made,
mm-hmm.
next to James Harden, and he's injured right now, and he shoots a lights out, basically. Almost 50% from three-point lane.
What's his size? How big is he?
About 6'10". About 6'9", 6'10".
Power forward or
power
more?
Power forward, yeah, power forward, center. You know, one of those bots.
Look, that's another, like, it's not a critical position for the Lakers, right?
Yeah.
Like,
but shooting is, though, Alan. Shooting
Dwight,
is.
JaVale, Anthony Davis. What if Boogie Cousins eventually comes back?
Yeah.
Like, you're just so... That wing position and the point guard position is where the Lakers are hurting.
But I can see one of those three guys going in a trade for Bertans, you know. But I got another name for you. Derrick Rose.
D-Rose put up 28 on the Lakers last night.
Uh-huh.
Derrick Rose only if, like, we strike out on other players.
Mm.
His defense concerns me.
I don't know
if
he's going to be right for the team.
Yeah, that's the thing, too.
Yeah.
It's like...
The LeBron and Derrick Rose experiment already happened in Cleveland. It
is
didn't
that
work.
The right recipe?
Yeah,
And whether, look, that team in Cleveland is completely different than this team, but I just don't know if that's, like, the answer to some of the Laker problems.
And I got one more name for you, and I know you talked about this guy with Ian Begley, who's coming up next.
Yeah.
Marcus Morris.
Marcus Morris I like a lot. I like a lot.
Yeah. And not just for the fact of his shooting or whatever, just because of the toughness.
Yeah, and also he fills a big-time void for the Lakers. He can be your three.
That too. That
you know,
too.
He could be your three. Or if you need him to play your four because AD is going to be the five and LBJ will go down the three, I like Marcus Morris a lot.
But
you know
that.
Who else likes Marcus Morris? Every other contending team in the NBA.
That's right.
Don't y'all wrap it up?
We're wrapping up, LZ. We're done.
We're done right now, man. All right. Good stuff, Funches. Appreciate you doing that. Let's do this coming up next. Ann Begley, like Funches just mentioned, he covers the Knicks for Spectrum New York, and he's going to be one of those guys that I think can give us just a little bit of clarity on the New York Knicks. I want to ask him about questions in regards to Marcus Morris, old player for the Los Angeles Lakers, Julius Randle. Compare franchises. Is there a comparison between the Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets as it is here with the Lakers and the Clippers? We'll do all that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on ESPN LA. All right, welcome back to Lakers Talk. We got Ian Begley, covers the New York Knicks for Sportsnet New York. Knicks taking on the Lakers tomorrow. And thanks for taking some time and hopping on the show.
My pleasure.
Well,
glad to be out here.
I'm sure quite the difference when it comes to the weather, but I want to start off with this. Curious to see, you know, obviously a former Los Angeles Laker. How's Julius Randle doing in a Knicks uniform?
You know, early on, I think it was a struggle for Julius to get adjusted to what the Knicks were asking him to do. They were asking him to do a lot. They wanted him to be the focal point of the offense. They wanted him to distribute the ball. They wanted him to be a leader in that Knick locker room. And, you know, Julius was pretty open, talking about struggling to get adjusted to everything because for the first time in his career, he was the focal point of opposing defenses. He was seeing double and triple teams. And I think he was pressing a little bit you know, during that early stretch, but now more recently, particularly since Mike Miller took over as interim head coach, you see Randall's numbers improve a lot from an efficiency standpoint. Doesn't seem like he's forcing a lot of shots. It seems like he's letting the game come to him. It seems like he's dribbling less, and he's not trying to do too much with the ball in his hands. And you've seen his shooting improve. So I think what you'll see at the Staples Center against his own team is an improved Julius Randle compared to what we saw earlier this year.
Yeah, I was always curious. I mean, I don't really follow – we get obviously so locked in covering or following the team that that we're actually covering. And for me, a lot of former Lakers, whether it was Julius Randle or D'Angelo Russell or Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Lakers obviously had a number of young players. And Randle was one I was always curious how he would do once he left the Los Angeles Lakers. And looking at his stats, 18.5 points and 9 rebounds a game, that's pretty impressive. I didn't know that he was having that much success in New York. Now, I know he would rather not have those stats and not be sitting at 10-26. Just looking at the New York Knicks as a whole, there's been a lot of conversation. A lot of it has been obviously negative about the New York Knicks, whether it's the firing of Fizdale or just kind of the state of the franchise, some of the moves they made this offseason. Where is the Knicks right now? I'm always puzzled with how such a franchise, so prestigious, so popular, such a great sports town, obviously, in New York, how they've been as bad as they've been for so long. Can you just fill us in kind of the state of where the New York Knicks are right now?
Everything's in flux right now. And, well, I think what you'll see is we'll learn a lot about kind of where things stand with the front office at the trade deadline, because there's uncertainty around the future of the Knicks front office with President Steve Mills, General Manager Scott Perry, because of how poorly things started this year for the Knicks. And, you know, under Mike Miller, they've played better. But the record, as you said, 10-26, nowhere near what management thought when they put this roster together. So they haven't met expectations, and, you know, the speculation is that, you know, potentially you could see a change in the front office at the end of the season. So how do you approach this trade deadline? Do you continue to try to improve the roster for the short term? Do you look at it big picture? Do you trade off some of these veterans for draft assets? I think how they approach this deadline is going to tell us a lot about the future of this organization. But everything's in flux because you're trying to develop the young players on the roster, the RJ Barretts, the Kevin Knoxes, the Mitchell Robinson, and you're also trying to win games. So it's tough to do both. The Knicks are trying to do it. It hasn't worked well so far. I think we're coming to a point in the season, maybe in the next few weeks or after the trade deadline, that you will prioritize playing these young guys ahead of the veterans and not really trying to win games, but the priority will be developing these players. So just a lot up in the air right now for the Knicks, and I don't think we'll have any big answers about the future of this team until after the season.
I think one name that's interesting right now, at least for Laker fans and probably a lot of fans out there that got a team that they feel like is competing, Marcus Morris so far for the Knicks this year, 19 points a game, about 5 rebounds, 5.5 rebounds, somewhere around there. What do you think happens to Marcus Morris? You think he's still on that team before the February 6th trade deadline, or do you feel like they'll use him as an asset? Obviously, they signed him in the offseason, some type of asset, like you mentioned, to go get players, maybe expiring contracts and young pieces as well.
You know, if I had to bet today, my bet would be that he gets moved in that scenario that you described. The one caveat, though, is, you know, the Knicks, there are people in the organization that really value what Marcus has brought on and off the court, and particularly from a leadership standpoint in the locker room. So, you know, they do see him as a potential long-term piece here. But I think what you have to ask yourself if you're the Knicks is, are we willing to commit what it would take to re-sign Marcus in the summer from a money standpoint? And if not, you have to trade him or else you risk losing him for nothing. So, you know, I think that's the question for the Knicks front office right now. Obviously, the kind of offers they get are going to dictate what they do with Marcus. But I would assume that at the end of the day, they get, you know, if they can get a first round pick back and a young player, they make that deal. But I think a lot of it depends on the market that develops around Marcus. And certainly right now it's a good one because of how he's played.
Ann Begley covers the New York Knicks for Sportsnet New York. Lakers taking on the Knicks tomorrow here at Staples Center. Tip-off at 7:30. Pre-game show with myself and MT starts at 6. You know, Ann, it's interesting because Marcus Morris is one of those players. I'll use the Lakers as an example. We're obviously in a much different position. The team is sitting at 29-7, and don't get me wrong. I mean, the last 5-6 years, you know, Lakers weren't making the playoffs in similar position, play the young guys, and then things obviously changed the moment LeBron James decided to sign with the Lakers in free agency. But Marcus Morris is one of those players that you just have a feeling, you know, he can make such a shift if he falls on the right playoff team. And for the Lakers, I don't know if this roster is, as it's constructed right now, you know, if they have enough. And I know that sounds crazy because they have the best record in the Western Conference, but they're 0-2 against the Los Angeles Clippers. I do feel like they're missing a piece. It's going to be interesting how a lot of these players, Marcus Morris is just one example of probably 5-6 players out there that can kind of really shift the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference. This is what makes this time of the year so interesting. Even if you're a team that's contending or if you're a team that just has one of these players that other teams have interest in.
Yeah, it's such a fascinating time of year. And, you know, obviously, we're talking about the Lakers, but what makes it interesting for the Lakers, the Clippers, and others is that there are so many teams that I think feel like they have a legit shot here. So that's what's going to make, you know, the market around Marcus Morris, players like that, so fascinating. Because in years past, you guys know, I mean, it was just about the Warriors and the Cavs and then, excuse me, everybody else. But now, there are more teams in the mix. There are more teams that feel like maybe we're a Marcus Morris away from taking it to the next level. So the competition for trading for a guy like that, I mean, it's just going to be fascinating to see how it all unfolds.
And I got a question. I remember when KD signed with Brooklyn, there was kind of some chatter and conversation that the Knicks is not the it's not the franchise that it used to be. I'm curious, in New York, how are those allegiances? I mean, would you say, I'll use Lakers and the Clippers as an example. We might as well, since we kind of keep referencing the Clippers. But I'll use them as an example. You know, it is not even close, the amount of Laker fans to a Clipper fan. And that wasn't, you know, that didn't happen overnight. That's a number of years of them having success here. The Showtime era, Jerry West, Dr. Jerry Buss, Magic, Kareem, keep going, Kobe, Shaq, and it continues to build from there. What is it like in New York? What, is there a ton of Brooklyn fans? I mean, is it comparable or is it not even close as well?
No, I think it's a similar dynamic that you guys have in L.A. I mean, there's generation upon generation of Knicks fans here in New York, and you know, the Nets have only spent a few years in Brooklyn. So they haven't had time to develop a devoted big fan base here in New York. And, you know, I don't know. I think it'll take, you know, a generation or two before you actually see a significant number of Brooklyn Nets fans locally. I think locally, you know, it's going to be a Knick town for a very long time, regardless of, you know, if Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving win a title over there or not. Nationally, it's a different story. Kyrie, Kevin, there's going to be interest there, much more so than any of the players on the Knicks. But locally, it's a Knick town, and I think it's going to be a Knick town for this foreseeable future, regardless of how things go in Brooklyn.
All right, that's kind of, I look at it this way. If the Knicks were good again, it's not even close, you know. And Lakers were struggling for obviously those 6 years that I was talking about, and Clippers with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, they were having success, but it meant nothing, you know. Like, and I'm not trying to take credit away from the Clippers. I'm just saying, in general, that's how the fan base is here.
Just the marketplace.
Exactly. Last question I have, Ian, is how do the Knicks take this? I mean, I have no dog in the fight. I think the NBA, if the Knicks were good, would be fantastic. I remember back in the 90s, you know, when it was Reggie Miller walking into the Madison Square Garden, or Michael Jordan, or, you know, obviously a number of these teams in the Eastern Conference. I thought the NBA, the Miami Heat, was so fun when the Knicks were good. How is it okay, I guess, is the question that I'm asking, because the 6 years that the Lakers went through, it wasn't okay. and it was 6 years, and it felt like it was 40 years. How is it? I guess the best way I could put it, how does James Dolan get away with being so bad for so long with a fan base that's such a good fan base, such a loyal fan base?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing like you can't, you know, force him to sell the team. I think that's kind of what it comes down to. It's not like you're dealing with a Donald Sterling situation where the NBA steps in and says, hey, you've got to sell. So there's nothing that would force a change in ownership other than Jim Dolan changing his mind and saying, all right, I'm going to sell the team. One thing I would say, though, is like, you know, the idea that all of this is the owner's fault, I think that
gets blown out of proportion.
Too much of the responsibility of the executives, because you go back to when he hired Phil Jackson, you know, by and large, he has let Phil Jackson, he's let Steve Mills, he's let Scott Perry make basketball decisions, you know, without overt influence. So, you know, it's easy for everybody to say, oh, look, you know, they've been terrible because of James Dolan, but I think that you're really you're giving a pass to the executives that make these basketball decisions, because it's not as if he's in there day to day pushing for trades of this guy and signing this guy as he was pre Phil Jackson. He's not doing that anymore. So yes, things have gone really poorly during his ownership, but let's not discount the idea that the other people have made these basketball decisions more recently.
And I appreciate you kind of getting us updated on the New York Knicks. We will see you tomorrow. Lakers taking on the New York Knicks from Staples Center. Appreciate you taking the time. Right, buddy?
Alan, my pleasure, man. Take care.
All right, good stuff there from Ian. We come back. You know, I'm not going to talk too much about the Lakers-Knicks tomorrow. Lakers are supposed to grab a W, and that should be that. They should run their record to 30-7. But one thing I do want to bring up to Laker fans, do the Lakers have enough right now as is? All this conversation that I brought up in that first hour about the NBA trade deadline, conversation about going out and trying to get players, making trades for players. This team is in first place in the Western Conference. Do you think this team has enough as is? Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. If you want to be a part of Lakers Talk, stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on ESPN LA. All right, so if you want to be a part of Lakers Talk, quick question. Do Lakers have enough right now as is? Brian Windhorst earlier today was on The Jump. Here's Windhorst on the Lakers' chances of a trade or a buyout, obviously if the Lakers are trying to improve their roster.
It's very difficult for the Lakers to construct a trade, which is why I still think their best chance of improving this season is to sign guys who are free agents.
Yep.
Like Darren Collison, who Woj reported is interested in coming back potentially, or a guy like Andre Iguodala if he gets bought out. And that's why, you know, LeBron over the weekend put out something on Instagram where he said, people still think we gave up too much for Anthony Davis.
Right.
I do still think that, because it was a one-to-one negotiation, and where the Lakers are going to feel the Anthony Davis pinch is not when he scores 46. Then you're thrilled. But it's because they gave up all of those swaps and all of those picks, they don't have the extra pieces to make themselves better through trade. Now, the free agency, maybe next summer, but to materially improve this team, they're going to have a big difficulty to do it through trade.
All right, we're going to find out what happens to the Lakers and whether, look, if they're fortunate enough to get some of these guys in the buyout market and Darren Collison, Andre Iguodala, these guys want to come play with the Lakers, I got no issue with this Lakers roster, but I do feel like they need something. Funches, I know we were talking about it a little bit off the air, and the conversation came up, and you're making your case of, look at where this team is. Why do you think they need something? Make your case of why the Lakers are all good where they're at. They should stay with what they have, and their record proves it.
I got three numbers for you.
Okay.
29-7.
Mm-hmm.
Why should we change anything when the Lakers are on top of the West, and they really don't really need to do anything? I mean, they can use some help outside, you know, with Rondo and a backup point guard and blah blah blah, another ball handler, maybe another shooter. But they're 29-7.
How much does it concern you against the Clippers? Because another number I could throw at you is you're 0-2 against the Clippers.
I get that. But I think whatever, trading Kuzma.
You're saying they can fix what they have with what they have.
I think they can fix whatever they can
to
do.
To take on the Clippers in a seven-game
set. I think they can fix it, whatever they can do within. They don't need any outside help.
All right, that's the topic in the conversation, and that's going to continue, by the way, up until February 6th, right? I mean, everyone's going to have their own opinion mm-hmm. on it. Me personally, I do feel like something is missing. You know, Funches, this is the best way that I can explain it. The way I'll explain it is, I get where the Lakers are sitting. They're 29-7. We actually have a stretch here coming up in the month of January. You're at Dallas, you're at the Oklahoma City Thunder, you're at Houston, you're at Boston, you're at Philadelphia. This is just in January. Listen to those five road games that I just mentioned. And then you still got that game against the Los Angeles Clippers coming on January 28th. So we'll continue to learn more about the Los Angeles Lakers and this team. Personally, I feel like something is missing. They could use another piece. And whether that's another veteran asset, whether that's another ball handler that can get LeBron a little bit of rest, whether that's another wing player that's got, you know, a number of years in the league, I feel like something is missing. Tim is calling from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Appreciate you calling in, Tim. Tim, go ahead. You're on Lakers Talk. You there, Tim?
Yeah.
All right. Tim is gone. Tim, try and call back, 877-710-ESPN. I do feel like there is something missing with this Lakers team. And look, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I spent a good amount of part of the argument saying that the strategy between the Lakers, the strategy they have compared to the strategy that the Clippers have, that the Lakers are fighting for home court, that they are in a solid position right now. But still, I feel like the best way that I could describe it is the rich trying to get richer. Edwin in Inglewood. Edwin, you're on Lakers Talk. What do you think, Edwin? You think the Lakers got enough, or you think they still got to go out and do more?
This is what I think. I think we only need to do a couple things. I don't think they need to do anything drastic. I think get Collison, and with doing that, I think it's time to get rid of Rondo, because I don't see any positives coming from him when he's on the court. And just be healthy. I think that's the main thing that they need to focus on, because I don't think Iguodala is going to get bought out. I think Memphis is going to hold on to him, and I just don't see them trying to trade to us.
Yeah, I think there's certain teams, and I appreciate you calling in. There's certain teams that probably don't want to deal with the Los Angeles Lakers, but a buyout, they don't have a choice. I mean, if Iguodala gets bought out or Darren Collison gets bought out, Lakers can do whatever they need to do. I know there's a couple people that want to hop on the show. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. I'll try and sneak in a couple calls when we come back, and then we'll go through our Power Five, and we'll also do our look ahead. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on ESPN LA. Tim, we lost you earlier. My bad, man. You're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead.
No worries. Thanks, Alan, for taking my call.
You got it.
To answer your question, do the Lakers have enough? Simply stated, yes. You know, we can point to a few different things. You know, of course, we talked about the 29-7 start, but just a few things that you notice right away, and this is consistent with all the teams that have won NBA championships throughout the years. Number one, their defense is legit. Mm-hmm. It's real. You know,
it is real and sustainable, and I think only gets better in the playoffs when things kind of slow down.
Absolutely, and when you have the what I call the triple power in there in the playoffs, they're going to be a real problem to even score when it really does slow out in the playoffs. Number two, they have consistent scoring from their superstars. They have throughout these AD and LeBron have consistently put in. You know, even if they have a slow start or a slow game in the playoffs, we know that when it comes crunch time, these guys are going to get it done.
Tim, the problem is they've been incredibly consistent, and we know, like, they're never going to be a question mark, Tim. You know, when you look at, and I appreciate you calling in, but they're never going to be a question mark. LeBron and AD are not going to be question marks, but there are question marks with everybody else on the roster. You don't know what you're going to get every single night. I don't know what Rondo's going to give you every night. I don't know if KCP is going to step up. I don't know if this is going to be Danny Green's night once every four games, five games. Kyle Kuzma, I'm not sure. So I think there are question marks that are fair. And the bar is so high. If you're the Utah Jazz, you're happy where you're at. If you're the Rockets, you're good with where you're at. If you're the Denver Nuggets, you feel good right now. But I don't think you know, any of these teams, the bar is set as high as the Los Angeles Lakers. The Bucks are in that category. The Clippers are in that category, and the Lakers are there. I think right now it's a three-team race. Now, there's going to be a lot of moves that happen between now and the NBA trade deadline, so that could obviously change some things. Jeff in Temple City, you're on Lakers talk. Go ahead, Jeff.
You know, you guys forget one thing, and everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to reload in February, March. Guess who's coming back?
Who's that?
Boogie Cousins. You watch. He's coming back. He should be healthy by then. If not, he'll be close.
He won't be ready by then. I mean,
come on. He's going to drive in April.
That's awesome.
If you get LeBron in his face.
This isn't me saying it because it's my choice. It's because it's just science. I mean, you know, he tore his ACL, so there's a certain amount of time that you're out for. So to say that he's going to be back in March or in February.
If he was to come back right next month, he's like an alien instead of like a human being or something.
No, I mean, I love like, he's saying like he's mad at me.
I got mad at me too when I said the same thing.
I can't repair his ACL, so that's just got to be something that heals on its own. But I'll say this, you know, Jeff, to go on your point, if he does come back, let's say in the postseason, let's say Lakers are playing in deep May, obviously into June. And now all of a sudden he's able to go. I mean, you're gambling to, you know, put your eggs in the basket of DeMarcus Cousins at this point, just because you have no idea when he will come back. He could be a major piece for the Lakers, but I want to worry about what's on the roster and who we know can play and what pieces are out there that the Lakers can maybe get. All right. So that's what we got on, all the calls. So I appreciate everybody that called in through the process of this show, but now, we got the Power Five. Funches, you know, so many of the times when we do Power Five, we talk about top five road games for the Lakers, best arenas in the country. We do all that.
Top five Thanksgiving foods.
Top five like Thanksgiving foods. Top five Halloween candies.
Exactly.
By the way, out of all the top fives I've ever done, I never got destroyed so bad by Twitter fans. When I did my Halloween candy. Out of everything, it was the Halloween candy that got them. That's what got them ticked off. Okay, so tonight we're just going to do an old-fashioned power rankings.
Power rankings.
Here we are, top starting off the new year. It's the first Lakers talk show in 2020. Let's rank our top five. Let's go from number five all the way down, see where the Lakers sit in these rankings. Why don't you get things started off?
All right, number five for me, I got the Miami Heat. They're at 26-10. They're 11-5, I think, at home. I don't know, 17-1 at home.
17-1 at home. Who's their only loss?
Lakers.
Los Angeles Lakers.
Lakers.
So you got Miami at number five.
Miami five, number five. Or, yeah.
All right. Number five for me, I got the Houston Rockets. Rockets sitting at 24-11. That is actually one of those teams that I think I'm curious about the Rockets.
Do I
think they could hang with the Lakers in a 7-game set? I don't. But they've played the Clippers really, really well. I think they've already played the Clippers 3 times this year. They've taken 2 of those games. Obviously, everything is built around James Harden. They're just kind of an interesting team.
He kind of tailed off the last couple weeks, huh? He's not been scoring like the 45.
Get rid of him.
Bring him over here.
So I got Houston at number 5. Who you got number 4?
Number 4, I got the hated LA Clippers.
Okay.
26-12. They got blown out by Memphis.
It's one of my favorite
on Saturday.
One of my favorite cities in
the
country.
And you should have saw what Twitter was saying about the Clippers and what people have been saying about the Clippers ever since, that they might not even be good enough to beat the Lakers now.
All right, I'll say this about the Clippers. I got Clippers at number 4 as well. Yeah. Look, here's the reality. Clippers know they got a team.
Yeah.
And they don't care about proving it to you and I in January. Mm-hmm. They really don't. And by the way, they've already proven it twice when they've beat the Lakers. That's why January 28th is so important to me. But I got them at number 4 as well because they're 3-2 since Christmas. So after they beat the Lakers, they have a couple bad losses. They lost one game to the Utah Jazz, another game to the Memphis Grizzlies, struggled yesterday against the New York Knicks and only had a 3-point win. But the one thing that they have, they know there's enough talent there. When everybody plays and they're healthy, they feel like they can beat anybody in the league. So we know they're going to be a team to reckon with as the season progresses. Hopefully the Lakers can take advantage of some of these buyout players and, you know, get some of these guys before the Clippers do, because it sounds like Lakers and Clippers are both going after the same guys.
Yeah, right.
All right, who do you got number 3?
Number 3, I got the Boston Celtics, the other hated team.
Which team do you hate more right now?
Oh, jeez.
It's easy for me. Very easy.
Why? The Clippers?
Yeah.
Because they're 0-2?
Yeah, and they're here, you know, like their competition right here.
Boston is Boston.
Boston is Boston, but, you know, what are the ties to the Celtics right now? Like, I don't feel like we have many ties.
That's
like
very
personnel,
true.
Kemba Walker, Jason Tatum. Yeah. Like, I just don't feel like there are many ties.
They're actually
there.
More lovable than recent, you know,
Clippers,
past Celtic
Clippers,
teams.
You want to talk about Kawhi picking the Clippers over the Lakers. You want to talk about Doc Rivers, Jerry West now
I
over there.
You.
I mean, the storylines go pretty far. Paul George, mm-hmm. I keep going down that list.
But at number three, I got the Celtics. They've been picking it up the last couple weeks. Gordon Hayward's back from injury. Enes Kanter's been picking up his play.
Enes Kanter. That just sounds kind of funny.
I know, right?
Kanter is like the guy.
And also, Jaylen Brown has been balling. I didn't think he can ball this well, but he's been balling the last couple weeks.
I didn't know the Celtics, who lost today, by the way, to the Wizards. I did not know lost tonight. I didn't know they'd be this good this year.
Me too.
You know, I knew Kemba Walker. I liked the Kemba Walker addition.
I did too.
I thought Kyrie was a problem to that roster.
But I thought they can be a fringe, like, 7th or 8th seed in the East.
No. Even if they were top 4, right?
Yeah.
Top 5, you'd be like, okay, that's about right in the East. They're number 2 in the East. You know, they're right behind the Milwaukee
Bucks. But you also
got
to remember, they not only lost Kyrie, they lost Al Horford, who was like a locker room guy.
Absolutely.
You know, veteran, whatever.
Yeah, they've been one of the more impressive teams this year.
Yeah.
You know, I think Toronto more impressive because they lost Kawhi,
but
they lost some pieces as well in the process. Okay, number three for me, it's the same thing. I got the Boston Celtics for all the reasons that we just said. So where do you put? How do you rank 1-2? Bucks lost today to the San Antonio Spurs. They have 6 losses. Lakers have 7 losses. Who you got 1 and 2?
Sorry, LA, but number 2, the Lakers. I still got to put the Lakers at number 2 until they beat the Bucks in a regular season contest.
Yeah, I think
it's
a combination of two things.
You can trade me now the Bucks talk if you want.
you're going to Milwaukee. It's a combination of two things. Number 1, they beat the Lakers, and number 2, they still have a better record than the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like we have the Lakers in front of the Clippers, even though they're 0-2 against them, but they also have a 4-game cushion on them. You know, their record is that much better in the Western Conference, so I'm with you on that front. Tomorrow, Lakers taking on the New York Knicks.
Yeah.
Let's do our quick look ahead here.
Okay.
So this is what we got. We haven't done one of these predictions in a while, so we're going to predict the entire week.
Okay.
Lakers got 3 games left for this week. Tomorrow against the New York Knicks, a W or a loss?
A loss and the biggest upset in NBA this season.
You got a loss tomorrow?
No, I got it. It's going to be a W. Easy W,
man. That would have been bold of you.
Yeah,
if you'd have done that, I'd have been with you on that. okay, Lakers over the Knicks tomorrow. You know, it's funny. When I was talking to Ian Begley, I don't know what I was trying to get out of him, but when I said, how is this okay that the Knicks are that bad, 10-26 this year? Like, how is that okay for Knicks fans? It's a good fan base. It's a loyal fan base. Part of me, I told Ben Lyons one time, I said, Ben, just stop going to the games. The only way you can get that franchise is stop buying tickets. The problem is they're sold out every game.
For like the next 20 years.
There's no pressure on the Knicks to be good. But for the NBA, I really do feel like if the Knicks eventually get good, that'd be good. So we both got wins against the Knicks. At Dallas on Friday, what do you think of that one?
I think the Lakers pull one out. I think the Lakers beat Dallas.
Beat Dallas?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with a loss at Dallas.
Wow, okay.
I'll go with a loss at Dallas. That means the Lakers will have won 6 games in a row and then lose to Dallas. But then I got them coming back on Saturday, taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder in a back-to-back. Thunder playing some good basketball, right in the thick of the Western Conference now. I got them getting a win against the Thunder.
I think they lose to the Thunder in the second
in the
back-to-back. Thunder's hot right now. They've won 9 of the last 10, 12 of the last 14, and they're just clicking at the right time.
All right, so we both got the Lakers going 2-1. We'll take 2-1. You know, tough road trip coming up for the Lakers. We'll take 2-1. All right, a couple quick reminders. Tomorrow morning, listening to Keyshawn, LZ, and Travis starting at 6 a.m. We got the pregame show, me and MT, starting at 6 o'clock tomorrow, and then the Knicks-Lakers at 7:30. Download the Lakers Talk podcast on the ESPN app or on iTunes. If you miss any part of the show or any of the postgame shows I do, you could download it on there. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Have a great rest of your week, L.A.